text number 37, chapter 19, fourth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. King Prithu's 100 horse sacrifice. Translation. O King Prithu, son of Vena, you are the part and parcel expansion of Lord Vishnu. Due to the mischievous activities of King Vena, religious principles were almost lost. At that opportune moment, you descended as an incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Indeed, for the protection of the religious principles, you have appeared from the body of King Vena. Purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. The way in which Lord Vishnu kills the demons and protects the faithful is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Paritranaya sarunam vinashaya sadhuskitam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavani yuge yuge. That's a verse everyone knows, right? In order to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as establish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. In the two hands of Lord Vishnu always carries a club and chakra to kill the demons, and in his other two hands he builds a conch shell and lotus to give protection to his devotees. When his incarnation is present in this planet or in the universe, the Lord kills the demons and protects his devotees simultaneously. Sometimes Lord Vishnu appears in his person as Lord Krishna or Lord Rama. All of these appearances are mentioned in the Shastras. Sometimes he appears as a Shaktivesha avatar like Lord Buddha. As explained before, these Shaktivesha avatars are incarnations of Vishnu's power invested in a living entity. Living entities are also part and parcel of Lord Vishnu, but they are not as powerful. Therefore, when a living entity descends as an incarnation of Vishnu, he is especially empowered by the Lord. When King Prithu is described as an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, it should be understood that he is a Shaktivesha avatar, part and parcel of Lord Vishnu, and is specifically empowered by him. Any living being acting as an incarnation of Lord Vishnu is thus empowered by Lord Vishnu to preach the bhakti cult. Such a person can act like Lord Vishnu and defeat demons by argument and preach the bhakti cult exactly according to the principles of Shastra. As indicated in Bhagavad Gita, whenever we find someone extraordinarily preaching the bhakti cult, we should know that he is especially empowered by Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. This is confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila 7, number 11. Krishna Shakti Vinanahe Tara Pravartan. One cannot explain the glories of the holy name of the Lord without being specifically empowered by Him. If one criticizes or finds fault with such an empowered personality, one is to be considered an offender against Lord Vishnu and is punishable, even though such offenders may dress as a Vaishnava and false tilak and mala. They never forgiven by the Lord if they offend a pure Vaishnava. There are many instances of this in the Shastra. Om Jnana Tamirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksurumilitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajvajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Savarutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. Narayanam Namaskrutya Vanam Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirai. Nasta Prayesha Bhadeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Yutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishviki. Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining here what he told us, that the guru, the spiritual master, is a Shaktivesha avatar. Of course, there are different degrees of being empowered, but everyone who preaches properly are empowered, otherwise we cannot preach. So someone like Srila Prabhupada is very obvious. No one will deny. But we have to be careful to recognize that any devotee who's preaching, following, it's by Krishna's grace. So to offend the devotee is offending Krishna, disturbing Krishna very much. So we want to preach, and like Prabhupada mentioned that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that there were people criticizing him and envious of him. And he said they shouldn't be envious because he's preaching the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Why should they criticize spreading the mission? Some of those God brothers, they asked us to remove all those lines from the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada criticized him. But they criticizing him. But Prabhupada didn't mention any names. He just said that they were envious people. They would say all kinds of things. But the devotee is happy to see another devotee making advancement. He's enlivened and encouraged that, well, if that person can make advancement, then so can I. Right? Maybe I can serve him. Maybe I can learn from him. Maybe I can do something so I can also. He's showing us what can be done. Not thinking, how can I put that person down? How can I stop him? We want competition. Help and encourage competition, like in book distribution. He encouraged it. We wanted to keep the scores. We wanted to inspire everyone to try to defeat the other one. But that kind of competition is good. It enlivens one to try harder. The envious type of competition, which means to put down the other person, that we don't want. In the material world, often that's the way it is. Winners and losers. But in spiritual competition, everybody wins because everybody's trying to please Krishna. Some place like Russia or India, and devotees, they can distribute so many books. They make so many devotees. It doesn't necessarily mean they're better devotees than some place like here or Japan, where we work really hard, but we don't see that much results. But Krishna is, the idea is to please Krishna. When the gopis saw that Krishna had abandoned Radharani, then they felt sorry for her. They weren't happy, oh yeah, he's abandoned her also. They were looking for Krishna because he left with Radharani. But then when they found he abandoned her also, then they felt bad for her. They didn't think, oh good, now she's also suffering with us. That's a test. When Rupa Goswami, he was new in the associates of Lord Chaitanya, coming from, you know, working with the Muslims, still, you know, looking like a Muslim, and been in the government of the Muslims for a long time now, even though he was actually always absorbed in studying Srimad Bhagavatam and meditating on the pastimes of Vrindavan. Rupa and Sanatan had a whole, like a Vrindavan Disneyland at their house. They had a whole, you know, Govardhan Hill and Jamuna, and they had a whole theme park where they could go and just meditate on Krishna's pastimes. But they were working for the Muslim government, so when Rupa came and he wrote that poem
about the holy name, and Lord Chaitanya was glorifying him, and all the devotees were saying that for sure he got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya to be able to glorify Krishna so nicely. They weren't thinking, well, he's just a new devotee, and how can he speak like this? He should listen to us. They were in ecstasy to hear him. And again, that stated, this is a test of a devotee. We don't rank someone by exactly. We do respect seniority in an older person, a devotee that's been around longer. But we don't judge one's spiritual advancement only on that. Even in the material world, one has to watch out. In Japan, traditionally, in every company, it's very fixed up that the senior time person, he has a higher position, and a new person has to be subordinate to him, because I can't have any opinion. I'm older than you. And then Mr. Matsushita, who's now the demigod of Japanese management from National Panasonic, he founded that company. When he started out after the war, there was nothing in Japan. First he was a delivery boy in some shop. And he would work really hard, and he would, you know, learn what the customers liked, and he would go out of his way to please them. So all the other boys would get mad at him, say, you shouldn't do that, guy. Make us look bad. Shouldn't work so nicely. Makes us look bad. Then he started making bicycle flashlights, lamps, and just by himself, and selling those. And gradually it became National Panasonic. It's called Matsushita in Japan, but here it's called the Panasonic National. You know, everything, television. We don't have their telephones here. They have phones. They have everything. Batteries. Everything electronic. Biggest, one of the biggest in the world. So when he went to America, he saw that, you know, sometimes a young guy was the supervisor and the old guy would work for him. So he asked the old guy, how can you do that? How can you take instructions from this young guy? And he said, well, he knows more than me. And so Mr. Matsushita thought, well, that's intelligent. So he introduced that in his company. So his company was quite revolutionary, but now, you know, he's everybody looks up to him. But still, some companies are the other way. His company is very wide open. Everybody can throw in their ideas. Everybody is, you know, cowboys. Some of the companies are very strict. And neither one of them, the workers, can understand how anybody could work in the other. So in spiritual life also, like Sukadeva Goswami, he was about 16 years old physically and looking like some kind of a madman. But when he came in the assembly of all the sages, including, you know, Narada Muni and demigods and Vasudeva and everybody respected him. Everybody paid obeisances except Narada Muni and Vasudeva, who were like his guru. They shook hands and embraced him or something. But then everybody sat down to hear him speak Srimad Bhagavatam, because he was the authority. He was the authority on Srimad Bhagavatam. So nobody was thinking, I should be speaking, I'm older than him. And what does he know? He just took birth a few days before. Been in the womb for 16 years, but then he just took birth and left home and hadn't been very long. So that's one incident. There's many. And this is a good lesson. So someone is empowered. And we see it's Krishna speaking. And we want everyone to be empowered. Because in order to spread the movement of Lord Chaitanya the way that Lord Chaitanya wants it, Krishivitaya, Tayata, Nagaradigram, every town and village, we need a lot of preachers. We need a lot of devotees that go out and preach and take responsibility. innovate. Like I took a walk here and there's one church that started down there. You seen that? Last time I was here, I thought that looks like it's a church. There was just some chairs and maybe something. I don't know if there was a roof or anything. Now there's a little bit of a floor and there's a roof and there's some church pews, you know, not plastic chairs anymore. About 10 chairs. It says SPA Church. And I'm sure if you go there on Sunday, it's jumping, right? People come. I was thinking, we can do that. We can start temples like that, right? Any place, just start a kirtan, put a schedule and do it regularly. And if somebody wants to dedicate themselves, they'll become empowered. Somebody will come. Somebody will come. And gradually they'll have something. You might see in a few years they have a huge place there. Because there's no other churches there. Right? On that side there's nothing. And all everybody's building their houses back there. They don't want to walk all the way over here to go to church. Right? They want to go to church. The guy's smart. Whoever it is. Now there's so many houses where you can put 50 of these churches inside. But let's see what happens. But that's the idea. Become empowered. If we just make the effort, then Krishna will become empowered. Anyone who ever goes out to preach, they experience that. That if we just try and depend on Krishna, then somehow or other, something will come. We'll remember scripture. We'll remember something. We'll be able to touch the heart of the people. So Prithu, everybody might remember, you know, King Vena was so bad that they had to kill him. The Brahmanas had to kill him by mantra. They tolerated his violent nature and his, you know, but then he made law that they couldn't worship Vishnu, only could worship him because he was a king. And the king is Naradevata. So he was using the scripture, but wrongly. The king is God on earth. So he should be honored, but he's honored as a representative of God. And he has to feel himself a representative, just like the guru, the husband, all those things that are God on earth. But the father, the mother. But that person has to understand they're representing Krishna. And the real worship is for Krishna. But he didn't believe that. He said, you can only worship me. Nobody can do any kind of yoga, any kind of worship of the Supreme Lord. So they tried and tried to deal with him, but he wouldn't take any good advice. So they killed him. But then there was no king. And there was no king, then everything was the thieves take over, and the rascals and the demons. No government. So they had preserved his body for some reason in oil, like they preserved Lenin's body in Russia. Right? You heard that joke? Why so many people went to see his dead body? Because they wanted to make sure he's dead. To make sure everybody knew he's really dead, he's not hiding out somewhere and going to come back. And, because it was such a relief to be rid of him. So they somehow they turned his body, and out came one son who was in low class, ran away, became a thief, race of thieves. And then Prithu came, was a funerary portion of Krishna, Vishnu, and all the demigods and everybody glorifying him. His wife also came, was a funerary portion of Lakshmi, empowered, same power. And then that made perfect king and ruled the earth. And the earth was angry at all the demons at the time and was holding back. Grains wouldn't grow, but he got her to let the grains grow again. And he created many things. Actually, national boundaries and stuff. There wasn't like that before, but as people become more degraded, they have to have nations and boundaries and, you know, because otherwise they're fighting all the time. So he was a great king, and studying his life and his teachings was very important for our movement, because we are a society and we have to govern. We have to you know, have some organization, you have to have government. So his example is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, especially how he respected the sages. When the four Kumaras came, you know, he washed their feet, sat at their feet, even though they were 5 years old only, and he was a king, an incarnation of God. He sat at the feet of the four Kumaras, who were only 5 years old apparently. Of course, they were some of the first sons of Lord Brahma, so they were much older than anybody else. But they looked like 5 years old. But he sat at their feet and inquired from them submissively on spiritual subject matters. And he was trying to do all these yajnas, and then Indra was envious. Indra is also teaching us that envy is not good, but Lord Brahma pacified the situation, just told Prithu, let Indra have his, you know, glory, let him have the most yajnas, and just leave it for now. Right? You don't have to do another yajna and defeat Indra. He wasn't even trying to defeat Indra. He was just trying to do yajna for the benefit of the kingdom. But Indra was scared. Indra is always like that. So I just had a few things here I noted down from different books. One is from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The beauty of these gopis combined deserves not even a show of respect from the beauty of even the tip of one of the toenails of Krishna. Of all the good qualities of Krishna, it said that beauty is the most wonderful. And his beauty just takes care of everything. It is possible to describe the beauty and splendor of the effulgent complexion or his charming sweetness. With that sweetness, no things in this world can compare, nor can the sweetness of God himself in the form of even the Lord of Dwarka. So the only beauty that can compare with Krishna is Radharani's beauty, and sometimes there's discussion about that, but it said it's like that we compare Krishna's beauty, you know, to the lotus flowers and to so many beautiful things in this world. But actually it says that's like an insult to Krishna's beauty. But it's just as close as to we can come. And we see that Radha Govinda, and we can get some idea. But as we become more purified, then Krishna will reveal more and more of himself to us. At this time, maybe we're still attracted to so-called beautiful things in the material world, but they're really not beautiful. So, if we can just, and Lord Chaitanya is God and Krishna combined, so his beauty is even more wonderful than to get on the more ordinary. There's 12 elements of prescribed duties. We have prescribed duties in the material life, in the temple life, and in our own personal spiritual life. Of course, the main prescribed duties is chanting our rounds, and not only just chanting, but trying to improve our chanting, trying to be attentive, and following regulated principles. Internal cleanliness, external cleanliness, chanting the holy name, austerity for us is the four regulative principles. Most people in modern life, if you tell them the four regulative principles, they think that's like torture, right? No occupation, no sex. They think, how can you live? They would die, they would rather die, because they have no experience of spiritual pleasure. So they get this so-called pleasure from their sense gratification, and they can't imagine living. Sacrifice, faith, hospitality. Like Srivastava is organizing all kinds of hospitality, I think, right? For all the devotees who are coming. Those Druid people in Israel, they're very much into hospitality. And they were so happy when they came to Mayapur, the way they were greeted. Jagatuttaka Maharaj had arranged so much, and whenever we visit them, they want him to come back because they want to pay back. They see he was so hospitable to them. Everybody, I mean, actually everywhere they went, and they want devotees to come there because they want to reciprocate. They feel bad that they can't pay back. So that's hospitality. Worship of Krishna. Acts for desire of supreme interest. Of Krishna's supreme interest. Satisfaction and service to the Guru. And I don't know if you studied Yama and Niyama. That's the first two stages of yoga, of Ashtanga yoga. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Dhyana, Pratyahara, Samadhi. So many times devotees think, well, I don't have to worry about the Yama, Niyama because I'm a devotee. And automatically all the good qualities of the demigod come. But Yama Niyama should be automatic then, but we can't. For us, we have to remember that something like, there's 10, it's like the 10 commandments. If somebody would study, they could probably match them up. Right? The 10 commandments. Non-violence. Thou shalt not kill. Truthfulness. No stealing or coveting another's property. Detachment. And humility, freedom from possessiveness, trust in the principles of religion. Then the niyama is celibacy, silence, steadiness, forgiveness, and fearlessness. And studying the scriptures, all those different things. So, these are important things to concentrate on and teach people. When we preach to pious people, they're happy to hear those kind of things. Giving up lust and anger and greed and proper behavior. Because now in society there's a great concern that young people are not getting trained in the schools and at home. By the example of the politicians, especially, I guess, and the movie stars, right? All the people that are put up as role models are degraded, generally very degraded people. They love to advertise their latest divorce and their latest entry into the rehabilitation center for their drug addiction or their alcoholism, or how they got arrested for drunken driving, you know, how they're caught for corruption in the government, and the young people, and the movies are all about those kind of people. So people that are pious, they want to know, you know, what we have to offer. We do have to offer that proper lifestyle. I was passing as one church in Singapore, and they always have their wise saying outside. They used to have one that said, "Let go and let God." That's pretty good, surrender. The last one I saw, it said, "Melt me," and had a picture of the hearts. Then it said, "Mold me." And it said, "Fill me, and then use me in your prayer to God. Ultimately, use me in your service." Another church had it, in America, they advertise a sermon, they have a title. And they always think of something very clever to try to attract people. One said, "Many people want to serve God as an advisor." They want, you know, "God, I think you should do like this. Please to give me that. You should arrange this for my society. God bless America." Remember after 9/11? Everywhere was "God bless America." What about the rest of the world? Right? Why only America? Bless America to bomb everyone else. Bless us to have wipe out the rest of the world, then everything will be all right. Right? And many countries think like that. If our country was, if everybody would just recognize the superiority of my country, then everything would be all right. So this material world is like it is because Lord Brahma, he had to create it as a place for people to be in Maya, to forget Krishna. So first he created the coverings of ignorance. First one is Tamisra. That means anger. Then Angra Tamisra. Thinking that death is the ultimate goal. Thinking that you die and it's all over. No more problems. And now we see more and more people believe that. So suicide is increasing like anything, everywhere. More and more people suicide because they really believe that that ends all their suffering. They don't know that it increases. Then there's tama, knowing nothing about the soul. Then there's moha, the illusion or the bodily conception of life, thinking on this body. And then there's maha moha, that means mad after material enjoyment. So that we know that that's quite prominent. And it's being promoted like anything to be mad after material enjoyment, intoxication, right? Gambling, and especially illicit sex. They all go together, of course. I see these beer signboards in Ghana. It says, reward yourself. You worked hard. Now drink a beer, get this first class beer, this beer will start your life. And, children are being brainwashed by seeing those things their whole life. So as soon as they can reach a bottle, they want to drink it. They think that that's the goal of life. So we need to do what we can to promote the chanting of the holy name of the Lord as much as possible. That's why we have Ratriyatra festivals, because it exposes so many people to the darshan, to the see devotees and hear and see the kirtan. If they just hear the kirtan on a radio, that's very nice, but if they actually see the devotees dancing in ecstasy, it has a huge effect. It's inconceivable for people to see such a thing. People blissfully dancing in the streets and being completely happy and seeing, the whole thing. And if we arrange it so that afterward many people can get prasada and many people can, get some books and get something, then we're doing the work of Lord Jagannath and Lord Nityananda. Nityananda is the most merciful. He brought the Maha Mantra from the Goloka. And he wants us to give it to us to spread all over the world, to give it to everybody. And, where a few people know about Krishna, but most people never heard of us. They don't know anything. So we have to work hard. It's just a matter of surrendering to Krishna, surrendering to Guru, taking the order as our life and soul, and doing whatever we can to spread it, to tell everywhere we go and whoever we meet something about Krishna. So, we're getting closer today. Many devotees will be coming, is that right? Some will be. So it's a chance for everybody to get together and share and inspire each other, encourage each other to reach more. Any questions? comment. Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.